Baseball sucks, right?
Baseball's the best. You may not be ready for baseball, but I sure am. And it's going to be real hard this year to be doing it without Vin Scully, too. Let me just say that. But they're talking about making some changes to the game, Kevin. Your big complaint has always been that baseball's too slow, right?
Yeah, it moves way too slowly, and they don't score. And a game can last 6 hours.
It's absurd. Yeah. Well, they are trying to address this in the minor leagues right now because others have noticed that sometimes a game can be 11 innings, 14 innings, 19 innings.
Yeah.
What can we do to get some score? And one of the suggestions that is being tried, which they have already tried in international baseball, by the way, is when you get to extra innings, starting with inning 10, you start the inning with a man on second base.
So he doesn't have to bat. He just starts out on second base.
You're a runner on second base.
Okay.
Exactly. And they feel like that will make the scoring happen faster and end the game sooner.
I say you're already in extra innings. Let's do that in the third inning. Who's with me?
Let's start the game with the bases loaded.
Right.
So I don't know the details on how this is going to work or what else they're planning to speed the game up, but a lot of people in baseball say it is a problem. And believe it or not, Joe Torre, who won all those World Series with the Yankees, is now the MLB chief baseball officer, and he supports this plan to start a man on second. So let's get the coach on the phone and see what's going on. Joe, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me.
So, really? You start the inning, the pitcher comes in, there's already a man on base before he's thrown a ball?
It's an idea. It's an idea. We've been talking around, and we're working with it. And you know, we're trying to... Here's the thing. I've been around this game a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I started playing when I was a kid. I was in the pros when I was 20 years old, and then, of course, as a manager, I've been around the game a long time. And... it's just awful.
Wait a minute. I thought you loved baseball.
Did not see that coming.
No, it's the worst. It really is.
But it's, millions of people
unbearable.
Enjoy it.
It was boring to play.
Really?
I can't imagine what it's like to watch it.
Wow.
And I didn't realize until I got out and I started watching it how... painful it is, really, for a lot of people.
Right, but all those decades...
I feel
decades
bad for inflicting that on people for so long. I feel an obligation now to try to do something, anything, that could just stop the horrible, deadly boredom of the whole procedure.
So what, in your mind, and I know, like you said, you're just putting your toe in the water on this, but what's the ideal...
got to.
What's the ideal length for a baseball game in your mind? It's certainly not 3.5 hours.
No.
What is it?
You know, a lot of people say, oh, the game went to extra innings, and it was, you know, 3.5 hour game. Did you see the game last night? It got to be, I'm thinking 20, 25 minutes.
Wait,
the
tops?
Whole game?
The whole game?
Tops. That's including getting to and from your car in the parking lot.
Okay, but that's not even time to play. I mean.
Right.
No, but I'm saying.
Thank you.
That doesn't sound very competitive. I'm saying you got to give the athletes a chance to do what they do, don't you?
Not really. And athletes, that's a stretch.
That's
you
a strong
the shape
word.
Of some of these guys?
Yeah.
Oh, fat.
Okay.
Fat guys in,
all right,
in
so,
tight pants. What is that? Where's the attraction?
Man on second is one idea. Just shortening the game in general is another. What else you got planned, Joe?
Well, with the extra innings, a lot of people were talking about this second base thing. I'm trying to introduce sudden death into the extra innings.
Sudden death?
Yeah.
You score, you win?
No, you kill a player.
What?
Well, we have a sniper at the top of the ballpark.
No,
literal.
Some point during the extra inning, someone gets taken out.
Wow.
And then no one knows who.
Sudden death of a player.
Okay.
I think would be exciting for the fans, and it would be interesting for the players, too, I think.
It certainly would be.
We got to make it more interesting throughout. I'm thinking while the guy's in the batter box trying to hit pitch, you hit him with a fire hose. You spray him down with a fire hose while he's trying to hit the ball.
But that's
it seems like it's really hard to hit the ball without being hit with a fire hose.
I know it seems that way, but it's really not.
Okay.
Kids can do this game. It's awful. I'm thinking maybe just unloading a truck full of monkeys on the field.
Oh, I'm in.
While people are playing. I think that'd be awesome to have monkeys crawling on the players while they're trying to play the game.
I'm in.
Throwing their poo would be great.
I'm not going to lie. You couldn't not watch that if that happened.
How about landmines in the outfield?
No,
oh, wow.
I don't think.
You're running around trying to catch a fly ball. it adds some excitement, doesn't it? You don't know if the guy's going to step on a bouncing Betty, and then the next thing you know, it's just a pink mist.
There's a lot of death in your plans.
Pink mist. Well, I hate these players and the game, and I'd like to see a lot of them die.
Are you sure you should be the MLB chief baseball officer, Joe?
Once in a while the pitcher's in the mound, we slip my hand grenade instead of a baseball. What do you think?
Again, you're just killing more players, though.
See how fast he throws it then when he's got a live hand grenade in his mitt. That son of a bitch. I hate pitchers. They're the worst. Goddamn awful this game.
Right?
Oh, my God. When's football season start again? Anybody know?
Good morning, boys and girls. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. It is 5:51 in the a.m., and as you may or may not be able to tell, Kevin and Bean are off, I don't know, sitting on a beach somewhere drinking gold out of a glass. Because that's what they do on their vacations. But your old pal Ralph is still here doing the showbiz beat for you. And it is that time. It feels like a Monday, doesn't it? How's everyone's holiday? Did you survive? Everybody got their fingers? I hope so. Beer mug, you still have all your fingers?
I lost my pinky.
Ah.
Who needs that, though?
No big loss. What are you going to do with a pinky? Hope you had a great holiday weekend. And speaking of holiday weekends, the box office is in for the long 4th of July weekend. And as you probably know, Despicable Me 3. Did pretty well for itself over that long weekend. Took it a little bit less than expected, but still a respectable $75.4 million in its debut. Made it the number one weekend of the holiday. Second, very happy to see this, Baby Driver was number two at the box office. Debuted with $21 million. Transformers, The Last Knight, I think we have a Transformer. Was third at the box office. Wonder Woman and Cars 3 were your top five films. The House debuted with just $9.5 million, made it number six. 47 Meters Down, The Beguiled, The Mummy, and Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, came in at number 10. Those are your top 10 films at the box office over the 4th of July weekend. Some sad news over the weekend, too. Maria Menounos, of course, you know from, she's been on Access Hollywood and E! News, going through a seriously tough time. She has been battling a brain tumor, she told People magazine. In April, she went through a seven-hour operation to remove what they're calling a golf ball-sized mass from her brain. And although she says she's getting stronger every day and hopes to be back to normal very soon, she has decided that she is going to step down from her work on E! Entertainment. That wasn't bad enough. Her mother is also fighting for her life against stage 4 brain cancer. So this poor family is just taking it. And, of course, we wish them all the best. YouTube star Stevie Ryan apparently took her life last Saturday. She co-hosted a show with Brody Jenner called Sex with Brody on the E! Network, and she had her own short-lived show called Stevie TV on VH1. She had been very public about her battle with depression, and it was apparently the death of her grandfather that sent her into a deeper depression, and they found her dead at her home. It was found dead by her parents this past Saturday. So, tragic news. Look, I get it. I understand. Depression is debilitating and beyond painful and can be crippling. But taking your own life is not the answer. Do yourself a favor. If you need to talk to anyone, I want to get this number out because it's an important topic. The National Suicide Prevention Hotline is always open at the following number. 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-TALK, and you can always reach someone there and talk to someone. For God's sakes, if you're feeling that way, just reach out, talk to someone. It can make all the difference. Let's talk about happier news. Excuse me. Like Jay-Z and Beyonce's kids, right? They're twins. Oh, they've had twins. No one's ever had twins before, but Jay-Z and Beyonce has had them, and now we know their names. Thank God. One is Rumi, R-U-M-I, that's right, Rumi, which is great because it's just a bunch of letters put together. It's just a made-up name. That's outstanding. Rumi and Sir Carter. Yes, Sir Carter, please, welcome. Welcome to the kingdom. Jay-Z's last name, of course, is Carter, and Sir Carter is the name. Oh, I'm glad they're so rich that they'll be able to afford a bodyguard for that kid 24 hours a day. Because if he's on the playground, if I'm a little kid and I run into Sir on the jungle gym, He's getting a beating. That's all I'm saying.
And he hasn't even been knighted yet.
Right? What's going to happen when the queen knights him? He's going to be Sir Carter. He's going to have to double down on the sir. Poor bastard. Sir Carter. Stop it. Hey, Quentin Tarantino's getting married. How about that? Quentin Tarantino has decided to finally settle down. Rumors are swirling that the director popped the question to Daniela Pick last Friday. She is an Israeli singer and model, not an unattractive young lady. And she told one media outlet that the news is true. They're very happy and very excited. Quentin finally settling down. He is 54 years old to her delicious 33 years old. Mm. So once again, Quentin Tarantino finally settling down. Well, settling. You don't have to settle for an Israeli supermodel. I think you take that gladly. Especially, I mean, I love Quentin Tarantino. One of my favorite directors. Very talented cat. But let's face it. He's not exactly Brad Pitt. He's not exactly... He didn't win the genetic lottery when it comes to good looks. So, just take what you can get, Quentin Tarantino. First song at their dance. What do you think they're going to dance to at their wedding? What do you think?
Oh, something.
It's got to be something. It's got to be the Kill Bill thing, right?
Yeah.
Come on, give me a little of that. Give me a little of that the Miserlude. Dick Dale, right? Right? Pulp Fiction? Pulp Fiction, right?
Yeah, Pulp Fiction.
Coming out on the dance floor, doing the Batusi. Congratulations. And congratulations to Joey Mother Effin' Chestnut. He took home the mustard yellow belt yesterday at Nathan's famous hot dog eating contest on Coney Island. You must have been watching, Beer Mug. I know you're, as a former competitive eater, you must have been fascinated.
Guy's my idol.
Right? Joey Chestnut. Do you have any idea what he did in 10 minutes? How many hot dogs he took?
I do know.
You know, so I don't want to ask you.
It is quite impressive.
For those of you who are listening, you're going to be shocked to know. A record 72 hot dogs.
Unbelievable.
In 10 minutes. Shh. I had a hot dog and a beer yesterday. I had to lay down on the couch. I was so full. I could barely move. I was like a beached whale. 72 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes.
That is fantastic.
It is fantastic. Here's Beer Mug playing clips of Beer Mug. We have now gone into the inception of radio. The runner-up was Carmen the Mutiny Cincotti, which sounds like a hitman for the mob. 62. Megatoad came in with a mere 48 hot dogs. I scoff at you. Miki Sudo won her fourth consecutive women's title with a personal best of 41 hot dogs. She shoved 41 hot dogs down her throat in 10 minutes.
What do you do after that?
I guess you grasp your midsection and fall over in pain. 32 hot dogs for the second place. And the Black Widow, who still has the record, by the way, of 45.
Sure.
She only came in third place. Only could get 30 hot dogs down her throat. So, you know, some nights you're just not feeling it, right, ladies? Sometimes you don't want that hot dog down your throat. I know how it rolls. Hey, Friday night, 10 p.m. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to come out to see me and Kevin Smith. We're returning to the stage with a little program we call Hollywood Babylon. It's kind of like the Showbiz Beat, only I do it with a stoner. And it's long form, and we just get annihilated and just talk dirty and have a great time. So we'd love to have you come out. It's a Friday night show this night, the late show at the Improv on Melrose, Hollywood Babylon, me, Kevin Smith, 10 p.m. Go to improv.com to get your tickets. Improv.com. Click on Hollywood, and the rest is easy. Today's celebrity birthdays. RZA celebrates his 48th birthday. Pauly D. Oh, come on, Dave. Dave King actually gave me DJ Pauly D on the birthday list from Jersey Shore. Come on. Edie Falco. From The Sopranos fame, of course. Nurse Jackie, 54 years old today. And singer Huey Lewis. That's right. Don't need no credit card to ride this train, he said, pointing to his crotch. Huey Lewis celebrates his 67th birthday today. I am Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
I mentioned a few moments ago that there have been a number of stories in the news where people lost a body part. Lindsay Lohan was probably the most high-profile one. Did you ever get around to looking at that photo at TMZ.com, Kevin?
I didn't. I saw the one bandaged, but that's all.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I want to see.
She lost a portion of her ring finger in a boating accident. Last Sunday, she's in the ocean off Turkey. She tried pulling up the boat anchor and somehow got entangled in it. Then the anchor pulled her down into the water. and she tried to untangle herself, and it sliced off the tip of her finger. So she had to go to the hospital, and a plastic surgeon was able to reattach it, so it looks like she's going to be fine. It almost happened to one of our own, DJ Omar Khan in Studio Heyo.
Hey, what's happening? Yeah, I was 13 years old, and I was ditching from high school, and I kicked on the swamp cooler to cool it down.
Right.
And it wasn't doing anything.
Really? And my swamp cooler wasn't working?
Yeah. And I knew my stepdad was going to be coming home. So I had to, you know, switch it off, and what I would do is he would come home from lunch, and I would hide in the closet. When I was ditching.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, when
so,
you were ditching.
When I was
okay.
ditching, right.
I didn't know that was a full-time thing.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So I turned off the switch, and it did not shut off. So my thought was like, oh, my God, he's going to know somebody's here. You know
right.
what I mean? So I go climb up on top of the roof,
right.
and I open up the little panel, and there's this fan spinning, and I'm, you know, 13 moron, and it doesn't look like it's spinning too fast, so I
for
reach
what
to stop it
with your
with my hand.
Why wouldn't you use your shoe or something else?
Listen, I'm a moron. So I reach in there, kunk, just but I stop the fan and I look at my finger and it's hanging on by
oh.
just a piece of skin.
Ouch! Below that top knuckle,
right? Exactly,
oh,
and
dude.
I must have been in shock because it didn't hurt or anything. It wasn't squirting blood, and I thought, well, this sucks. And I hop down and I call 911. Cool as a cucumber. Hey, you know, I cut my finger. It's not bleeding too bad. Could you send somebody down? Get rushed down to the hospital. They call my parents. And my parents, they work in L.A. I used to live in Fontana. So they're a good 2.5-3 hours away from
oh,
getting
yeah.
to the hospital. So I'm there with my severed finger. They can't do anything legally because I guess it's not life-threatening. So I'm there hanging out in the hospital ER with my busted finger.
Wait, they can't give you any pain medication or anything else?
They put it on ice. So my hand was
oh,
on ice
why
for
don't
3 hours.
Why? So in other words, they wouldn't even automatically sew it back up
because
they need
it.
Your parents' permission?
They didn't do anything. The gnarliest part, though, was that I got a bunch of dirt in there.
Oh.
So once they numbed it up, I could hear them scraping the dirt from
oh,
the bone.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
I don't want that.
And then they stitched it up. And
Omar's mom hates him, so it's like she was
yeah.
like, yeah, I'll wait till lunch before
yeah, yeah,
I leave.
She won that day.
How did it heal? Does it seem completely normal to you?
You know, I have a bit of a weird finger now.
Yeah,
but
straight crooked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But but other than that, it's all good.
All right, O, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Let's start with Casey. He's in Long Beach, please. Line one.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. You lost a body part.
Yes, I did. When I was about 7 years old, I would always watch my mom leave for work, but I was jumping back and forth from her bed to a stool to, like, the windowsill. So when I jumped back onto the stool, it tipped over. I fell back and I hit the back of my head on my mom's corner of the bed,
oh.
and it ripped off my ear.
Oh, oh. Man, you lost an ear.
I lost an ear, and then at the time, my sister was babysitting me, so she called 911, called my mom back, rushed me to the hospital. They were able to reattach it, but I didn't even feel it. I didn't know it at the time, so after I fell, she picked me up, checked if I was okay. I started jumping on the bed and she saw blood dripping. She didn't know where it was coming from, and then she looked at my head. And
she must have thought you were insane. No ear, bleeding, and still jumping.
Thank you so much for the call. How about that? Glad you're okay. Losing an ear, I wasn't expecting that.
That's not ideal.
Let's try James in West Covina.
Hey, James.
Hey, guys.
You lost a body part.
Yeah, so I was BMXing with some friends and took a big big tumble, and when I came up, blood was pouring everywhere, and a friend of mine found a piece of my beanbag.
Oh! No. Can they reattach the scrotum?
No, they just sewed it up and sent me on my way.
Oh, man.
You lost part of your scrotum.
It was not my best day.
Really?
No.
I hope not.
I'm impressed, though. Thank you, James. Appreciate the call.
He has stepped it up. That's what we were asking for.
Exactly. All right. Let's try Andrew. He's in Long Beach. He's up next. He's on line four.
Hi there.
What happened? What body part did you lose?
Okay. It's a little weird. I was maybe 10, 11 years old. I was playing with a blowgun, and I just happened to knock it back into my mouth with my knee, and it took out a chunk of my hard palate.
Took out
So you lost part of your mouth.
So the top of your mouth?
The top of my mouth.
You shot off with a gun?
No. It was a blowgun. Like a tube that you
right.
put a little pellet in and then you shoot out. I just knocked out a chunk of my hard palate. It came off. I almost swallowed it.
Oh,
I managed to push it back into place. It was bleeding for a while, you can imagine. I pushed it back into place.
Please tell me that that's all you did. You didn't go to the doctor.
I didn't.
You know what? That's good enough. It's still there.
Did it reattach?
It did. But there's a little ridge right there. I can still feel it with my tongue on the top of my mouth.
That is fantastic. Thank you for the call. Let's try Bronnie. Hi.
So when I was in high school back in Wisconsin, one of my friend's dad was working on his lawnmower, and he literally ripped his penis off. The lawnmower must have fell on him. In order to save it, they had to attach it to his arm, graft it to his arm. So he had his penis on his arm for like 2 weeks.
I've heard that they could actually do that and it actually helps. But how bizarre must it have been for him?
It was very odd.
Did he pee out of his arm?
I don't think he peed out of his arm.
It doesn't work like that.
It was just a joke.
It's just trying to keep blood in it.
It was just a joke.
But hold on a sec. Bronny. How does one lose a penis while mowing the lawn? Like, what happened?
I think he was fixing it.
Yeah, there's a lot of that story that's not being told to you.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the kid was too happy that his dad had a penis on his arm, so.
That is amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner.
Yes, we do.
Thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
Donald Trump has been talking for a long time about cracking down on illegal immigration in general and on criminal undocumented immigrants especially. Mm-hmm. And what they have done is they've set up a new hotline on Wednesday for victims of crimes committed by aliens.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's a hotline for tips. If somebody has committed a crime against you and they're an alien, then you call them and you give them that tip.
Well, this is consistent with what the president has been saying, which is you want to kick out people from the country who are the worst.
Right.
Right? People who commit especially violent crimes, you want them to make sure they can't be in America anymore. Understandable.
Now, a lot of people are calling just with alien sightings. Now, to be funny.
Oh, so not illegal immigrants, just actual aliens.
Extraterrestrials.
Yes. Yes.
See, this is why we can't have nice things anymore, you guys. Because you ask the internet to help you name a boat, and it becomes Bodie McBoatface, right. Okay? You tell the internet that there's an alien hotline, and they're going to figure out some way to prank the government.
Right, and that's bad, you're saying? I'm saying that's good.
Well, I don't know that it helps. I don't know that it helps. But we wanted to find out more about this, so we do have the communications director for ICE, which is immigration enforcement here in this country. It's Matthew Robbins, who joins us on the phone right now. Mr. Robbins, how are you, sir?
I'm well. Thank you for having me.
So this hotline, I think the president is well-intentioned, right?
Yes, this hotline is in place to assist victims of crimes committed by criminal aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we believe that all crime is terrible, but these victims are unique and often ignored because they are casualties of crimes that should never have taken place. These people should never have been in our country. And so we need to have a task force and a hotline to handle all these bad hombres, if you will.
Sure, right. So the public has responded, just not in the way you expected.
Well, they have responded, and the problem is it's not the people are calling. I think they are victims also because there are many of these liberals out there who are spreading the idea that this hotline is for aliens from extraterrestrial nature.
Uh-huh. So they turned it into a joke.
They turned it into a joke, and then there's poor people out there who I truly believe think they've had some sort of encounter with an alien, and they believe this is actually a resource for them, and they're calling in and frankly clogging up the lines. We can't get to the actual important calls because all these voicemails are being left by people who I think have been fooled. They've been lied to by some people for political reasons, and they are confused, and they are calling up these lines.
You don't think they're just trying to be funny?
No, I do not, sir. I believe that these people are well-intentioned, although misguided, perhaps, and confused. But by the nature of the phone calls, you can tell that there's some genuine concern on their part.
I see.
Okay. What kind of calls are you getting, Mr. Robbins?
Well, I have some examples here, if you'd like to hear some of them.
Yeah, very much.
These are genuine Americans, so I believe in their defense, I actually think they've had encounters with extraterrestrials. But there's no place for that in our phone line because we're trying to get serious work done here.
Right.
So we don't need any more calls like this one.
How you doing? My name is Aaron McGillis, and I'm calling in here to the Criminal Alien Hotline because I have found that there's an alien, one of them space aliens, who is ruining my marriage. I came home to the double wide to my wife, Darlene, and Darlene told me, I saw somebody go out the back window, out of the bedroom, and Darlene said that a space alien had landed down and said that his planet needed women for making babies. And I don't think these aliens from space should come down here and be able to take our women.
So, obviously, you can tell that man's genuinely distressed.
And, you can't do anything for him.
No, he's reaching out for help, and the only help he really should get is a divorce lawyer, really. In that case. But these lines, as I mentioned, they're clogging up the actual space we need for real victims of crimes.
Right.
We don't need any more voicemails like this one.
I'm reporting space aliens having stealings of things. I'm a radio personality, and I have a card to get into the gate of my key of the station. And you need the key card for getting into the station. And every time I go to give it, the card is gone. Now I'm thinking that aliens are stealing my cards. Every card that I have is gets stolen from aliens from me. So I would like to report the thievery of my key card. Never mind. It was in my other pocket.
Oh no!
Well, that guy seemed genuine.
The guy who generally has problems, and unfortunately, he's wasting his time calling the voice hotline.
Yeah,
I like this gentleman.
Hey! I have a complaint about these criminal aliens. I have a sign in my backyard. Here in my island home, and I'm welcoming aliens to come visit me, and they won't come. And I would just like to know how can I get these criminal aliens to visit me? And more importantly, I would like to know more about their anal probing.
Oh, no.
I'm so glad I don't have any pants on.
I don't know anything about pedicures. I'll just say it. I've never had a manicure. I've never had a pedicure.
I think you'd love it.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't really like people touching me at all.
You get over it once you see how great your feet look. And seriously, they feel so much better in shoes once you have a pedicure.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be true? I know this sounds like a dumb question. Would that be true for men as well?
Absolutely.
Because we don't wear the same kind of shoes that a lot of
Well, you're getting rid of all that dead skin and then a lot of calluses, all of that.
But I don't feel like I have a lot of dead skin.
You do.
You have a ton.
Just in general, anybody does if they walk around?
Yeah.
My wife talked me into getting one.
Uh-huh.
Recently, and I mean, they brought out Sanders. It was rough. They were
you
drilling.
Got a mani pedi?
They were drilling. Just pedi. Yeah, both. Yeah,
you got both.
Yeah. Nice.
And did it?
And
feel...
I looked just precious.
How did you feel, Kevin, when you were paying a lady? I assume
it was
a lady
weird as hell. I can
to play with your feet.
It was weird as hell. Because most people hate feet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Weird as hell. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would think it would be. And did you feel like $1 million when you walked out of there?
I mean.
Just slip your nice feet into your slippers and go about your day.
Maybe. Maybe that's what I did.
Was it the type of thing that was so life changing for you that you said, I'm going to start doing this on a regular basis?
No, but I liked it.
Well, then why won't you go back?
Well, I mean, I probably would if my wife said, hey, let's go do this. But
it's not something you'd like enough to do on your own.
On my own. I don't do anything that's good for me. It's just my general rule.
Good point.
And, Allie, how about you? Do you get, cranky if it's been too long and you haven't had a mani-pedi like my wife does, where she's freaking out if she can't go?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, it's part of the regimen.
King of Mexico weighs in. I really like mani-pedis. Feels so fresh and so clean.
Well, the reason I bring all of this up is there is a story in the news out of a suburb of Memphis, Tennessee. What's it cost for a manicure, Allie? What is it, about $25?
At a cheaper place, sure.
This place has a sign on the wall that says, sorry, but if you are overweight, pedicures will be $45 due to service fees for pedicurists. Somebody snapped a photo of it.
What?
And this reporter goes to the nail salon to find out what's up. Because that seems like quite an increase in the regular cost of the pedicure, right? $45.
Yeah, that's
outrageous.
I feel like any increase is absurd.
For people who are overweight.
Right. Yes, that's crazy.
And I saw the headline and I thought, well, I don't understand feet or feet, right? Whether you're a big girl, little girl, I don't understand what the difference would be in the feet, you know?
Right.
It can't be that much. It's not that much of a bigger surface area, but let's find out what's going on.
It's this picture of a sign sparking discussion on Facebook saying, sorry, but if you are overweight, pedicures will be $45 due to service fees for pedicurists. Since it was posted Saturday, it's been shared more than 500 times, with women across the city weighing in, many expressing shock.
See, she said weighing in. Women across the city are weighing in.
I don't think that was on purpose, by the way. I think that she was just referring to a lot of people leaving messages of surprise. Mm.
The woman who snapped it said it was at Rose Nails at Fraser Boulevard in Overton.
By the way, I will tell you that I can watch no news story without hoping it's going to be a success.
Absolutely.
Now that we've been spoiled by that reporter, right?
We went there today.
How are you doing?
We met Sun Nguyen. We showed him the picture.
Some people will reach out to us.
Yeah, some people, you know, the customer.
Nguyen repeatedly denied the sign was ever up in his business.
By the way, I love this guy so much, and you'll find out why.
He denied that sign ever existed?
Yes, he denied, and she's got photographic proof of it in his salon, but we do live in an era now of alternative facts.
Sure.
Where you don't really have to worry that there's proof to dispute what it is you're saying. You just stick to your story, and what can people do, right?
And we didn't see one today, but Nguyen said he's considered one.
Did you at one point have that sign up?
No. I told you, I said, I'm thinking, but I don't put it up.
I was thinking about it,
yeah,
but I didn't put the sign up.
That's, by the way, when you're lying, that's such a yes. I mean, that's the worst lie ever. You know what? I thought about it, but didn't.
Yeah.
And why would you bring that up? She didn't ask if he thought about it. She just asked if he had the sign.
Because he's lying.
Yes, because
he's lying, and he's lying poorly.
Right, exactly. Just say no.
Right.
Don't go, but I could have.
Right.
Sure thought
about
it.
I was like seconds away, but then I stopped myself.
Yeah, because it would be wrong.
I mean, come on.
I also showed him another picture that was posted in the salon. You can see the sign and the same flooring, same chairs, and the same walls.
Huh. All right, let's see if he can get out of this one.
All right.
So this isn't your business?
Let me see.
It looks like the same floor and the same...
No, I don't think so, man.
So this isn't your business?
No,
even though the floor and the chairs...
Sometimes the floor, so many floors, I don't know.
He showed me his prices.
I mean,
honestly, there's a lot of floors. A
ton of floors.
And that's tough to argue.
Absolutely. So much win with this guy.
He said the only extra charge is $5 for men for a pedicure.
Extra $5 for men. Why do you suppose that is, you guys?
Because that's a lot more work. Because they don't get them regularly.
Because they don't come to the salon as often.
Boom!
Nicely done.
Thank you. Nguyen said instead of putting a sign up, he's decided to just not service someone if they are severely overweight.
Okay,
that's even worse.
Not winning anymore.
Right?
Wait a minute.
No, I'm not charging them more. I'm just denying them service.
Refusing.
What? This did go south so fast, right? Now, why do you guys suppose he doesn't want to serve overweight customers? There is an answer coming in the news report. I didn't see it coming.
You didn't see it coming. I mean,
why do you think?
So it's not that there's more surface or whatever you said earlier.
Maybe it has to do with the chairs they use.
With the chairs they use. All right, let's see.
I don't know.
He said it's difficult for technicians, and he's had broken chairs in the past, which hurts his bottom line.
Broken chairs, Allie.
Allie is on it today.
You guys, I'm going to head home.
It's going to be hard to go anywhere from here.
How much money did that cost?
Oh, about... At least about $2,500.
$2,000 for one of his chairs, by the way.
Uh-huh. If it is one of the chairs with the jetted tub, I could see that.
But do we believe him?
I don't. No.
Nope.
Not
no.
Him. So no pedicures for the big ladies, apparently, if you're in Memphis, Tennessee. So there you go. That guy is he's fantastic, though, isn't he?
He is the best.
Guy runs that place. Just keep doing what you're doing.
6:54 in the a.m. You're listening to Kevin and Bean on the world-famous K-Rock. The boys are off vacation, probably just sunning and surfing like they do. You know, Bean's a huge surfer. He loves to hang 10 on the tailpipe. Or whatever the kids do when they're surfing. But your old Radio Pal Ralph is still here doing Showbiz Beat live for you each and every hour. We're going to have a pretty good time this week, I think, because Mom and Dad are away. So let's throw a party. What do you say? Let's start off with the weekend box office. It's not a Monday. That's usually when we do this, but it was a long holiday weekend. I hope you had a good time. I hope you survived and took care of yourself. Here are the top 10 films at the box office. If you went to see the movies over the weekend, you probably went to see Despicable Me 3, at least according to the numbers, $75.4 million in its debut, made it number one by far. Baby Driver, I love that film, came in at number two in its debut with $21 million. Transformers, The Last Knight, made $17 million this weekend. That made it number three. Wonder Woman and Cars 3 were the top five films. The House, new Will Ferrell film, made just $9.5 million. At number six, number seven was 47 meters down, The Beguiled, The Mummy, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. Those were your top films. We were talking about The House, and Will Ferrell's been around doing some press for this new film. He was on Andy Cohen's Watch What Happens Live last week, and I thought this was fascinating because I had heard this story that Mariah Carey was supposed to show up and do a cameo in The House, but things didn't work out. I didn't know the details until Andy Cohen started pressing Will Ferrell on it, and apparently it was a nightmare trying to work with her. They never did get it filmed, and here's a little taste of what they had to put up with while they were trying to get Mariah Carey to do a little cameo in this film.
Is it true she showed up 4 hours late to shoot?
True.
Now, is it true she gave some script notes? What script notes did she give when she arrived?
Well, one script note was like, I don't want to do this scene.
Okay.
Even though it was totally approved ahead of time.
What song was she supposed to sing and then decided she didn't want to? Was it a Mariah Carey song?
Yes, it totally was.
Okay, so it was a hit.
Yeah.
And then did she say I'd rather sing a
something else? And then that, which is hard with clearance, and
yes,
became quite a kerfuffle.
Did she...
A.K.A. Storm.
Yes. Any crazy demands for her trailer, for what should be in the trailer?
Lambs.
Lambs. Literally?
Stuffed lambs.
Stuffed lambs.
For her lammies.
For her lammies, right? Which are her people. Yes, exactly.
Oh, my God. Will says around 11 o'clock at night, they finally knocked on his trailer and said, you can go home now. This isn't going to happen. So, Mariah Carey. Being a nightmare. No shock, though, right? No surprise there. Speaking of musicians and, excuse me, music news, Ed Sheeran says he's quitting Twitter. He told the London Sun in an interview, I can't read it. I go on it, and there's nothing but people saying mean things. Twitter's a platform for that. One comment ruins your day. So Ed Sheeran says he'll no longer be on Twitter. Oh, before he leaves, I want to send him just a real quick tweet. You are such a pussy. Send. What an a-hole. Come on, toughen up, Ed Sheeran, you little garden gnome, you little sensitive ginger. You got all the money in the world, you got all the success, you got all the babes who would never spend any time with you otherwise, Ed Sheeran. Suck it up. Take your lumps. Actually, Twitter is pretty brutal, but don't run. Just don't read it, you big weenie. All right. Friday night at the Improv. It's happening again, Hollywood Babylon. We're coming back. Me and Kevin Smith. It's been a while since we've been on stage together. Looking forward to it. Love to have you come join us. You can go to improv.com, click on Hollywood, and then it's pretty simple from then. Just buy your tickets for Friday night's late show, 10 p.m. Me and Kevin Smith hanging out with you. Come on out and join us. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. RZA, 48 years old today. Edie Falco, you know, loved in The Sopranos, and Nurse Jackie, 54 years old today. And Huey Lewis. Uh-huh. Right. Not exaggerating when I say probably Jimmy Kimmel's favorite musician of all time, Huey Lewis. Just goes to show you, Will, all of our weak spots. He He is 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What are you jumping up and down for?
I'm grabbing it.
I didn't take care of my business before this segment started.
Let go of it.
All over the floor?
You're an adult. No, with your hands.
I didn't do the pee-pee dance.
Also, Ralph has to pee right now.
Yeah.
So we should take our time getting into the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices is what you're suggesting.
Right.
What does Ralph have to do with it?
Or cancel it. Right, yeah. I don't need to be here.
We do the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Boom!
And the kids love it.
I don't hear any
kids
loving it.
We put all real stories on the wheel. We spin the wheel, and then we decide to follow up on one of the stories. All right. Here are the stories that are on the wheel today. The rugby-playing goose.
Come on.
F that goose.
So good. Right?
The CIA cat spying on Russia.
Oh, that's very timely right now.
Cat.
The rat with two heads.
What?
Like, rats aren't bad enough. Now we need two-headed rats?
The drug-addicted monkey deported from Kuwait. By the way, every week there's some kind of monkey
deported
that's drunk.
Where, by the way? Where did that monkey get deported to?
I don't know. I don't have all the details here.
Oh, pipe down.
We'll have to wait till it lands on it.
Yeah, if it lands on that, then we find out. That's why we do this segment, Ralph.
Kianda, the 410-pound dancing gorilla.
Aw.
Aw.
Cute.
I'm not positive that we want it to land on the human-eating deer.
Oh, the human-eating deer is a terrifying story, you guys. Terrifying.
And the beehole eel. So those are the stories that are on on the wheel today. Shall we spin the wheel?
No. Yes. No.
It's time for the Wheel of Animal Voices. Where do you think it's going to land?
Don't know.
It's going to be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for
I am torn, Allie. How about you? Who are you hoping it lands on here?
Kind of the monkey.
All right.
Let's I noticed that we did take off Piggy Smalls.
Piggy Smalls is the illest, and he's
been
also
a problem, Kevin. Right. So keep her up in arms.
There's been a revolt about Piggy Smalls not being on the wheel, but let's see what it lands on today here.
The rat with two heads.
Oh! Oh!
Okay.
The rat with two heads.
Now, you may be asking yourself, Kevin Bean, why does a rat have two heads? Here's what's going on. There is a guy that we have talked about on this show before who is apparently a well-respected Italian surgeon. His name is Sergio Canavero, and he has been making the news a lot in the last couple of years because he says he is going to perform successfully the first ever human head transplant.
Firsties. Do you take a number or something?
It's not being offered yet.
I don't think it's available yet. So he says he's got a system. He has figured out a way to do it successfully, to transfer a head onto somebody else's body. Okay. Now, there's another surgeon in China who is using Dr. Canavero's technique to build up to this, and he is performing head transplants right now on rats, and they are successful, ladies and gentlemen.
But this has two heads.
Yes.
Now, which one works?
This is what – they both work. This is what this guy in China did, all right? He cut the head off of a rat.
I hate this.
I hate it too, but I understand why, you know, you make progress in surgery by testing on.
Hey, I'm fine with it so far. Go ahead.
All right. He cut a head off on a rat and then figured out a way to transplant it onto the body of another rat that also has his own head. So now this rat has two heads that both work. Their little eyes work. Their little mouth works. The blood supply works. They've hooked it all up. So this rat literally has a head on top of his head.
As repulsive as this is, that's amazing. Yes.
It is unbelievable, unbelievable technology. Yes. The doctor in China, by the way, is now expecting to move on to monkeys as the next
step.
So now if China doctors do it and an Italian doctors doing it, now it's like a race to see who can be the first to try and successfully transplant a human head. But this is where we're at, is a two-headed rat. And we asked Dave if there's any way we could talk to somebody on this story. And I'm not sure exactly who we have. Do we have the Chinese doctor? Who's on the phone there, sir?
Hey, how's it going?
What's happened,
guys? It's the rat with two heads.
They're both talking.
Thank you. Thank you for clarifying.
Hi. How are you? How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty good. Yeah. Like, I'm not having a problem. We can't stop all the time. It's amazing. You know, I can imagine. It's a little frustrating sometimes.
It must have been a bad surprise for you to wake up and realize that your head was transplanted onto another rat's body.
Well, no, not ideal. I'll tell you that.
Shut up.
So how's it going?
Frustrating because listen, guy, I'd rather not be dead. I mean, at least he's got a head.
So is one of you happy?
Well, I mean, you can't imagine that he's really happy. Yeah, one guy who tries to make all the decisions, and the other guy, you know, just hanging up his
back. You know, we were table for hours.
I don't know if you both can find a way to settle things.
Awesome.
I could talk to you two all day.
You haven't said a word. You've been laughing all the time.
This was a success.
I didn't imagine that it was real, but apparently it is, Kevin.
I'm not positive that it's real either, but I want it to be so badly.
I want it to be real too. Yeah. And I know that you have no. This is true. You have no control over what turns you on.
Right.
You just don't. It's just baked into you based on your life.
See, and baked into you. See,
that's already. I wasn't trying to make a pun, but apparently there are people who are turned on by. I mean, was that your impression that bread face, the whole phenomena,
yes,
is people are sexually turned on by watching a woman smash her face into loaves of bread?
Yes.
That's their thing.
She has an Instagram account. Mm-hmm. Allie, you said it's verified.
It's verified. Mm-hmm. People love it.
And people send her money and ask, hey, how about some rye this weekend? Hey, why don't you pull out some wheat?
Try some challah.
So she puts the bread on the table and she just smashes her face That's the whole thing.
That's it. Yeah, she doesn't get undressed. She doesn't do anything with the bread except for smash your face into it. It's called bread facing. And apparently the YouTube channel Super Deluxe interviewed her. And Kevin, you saw this video. Is it in the clip why she prefers to remain anonymous?
Yes.
Okay, let's hear it.
First, she explains in painful detail what it is. Mm-hmm. And by the way, listen for sexual innuendo because I feel like every other word, there's something. Here she is. She's explaining what it is in painful detail.
So the process of bread facing is, number one, I go buy bread.
Really? Come on now. Really? I mean, don't we assume she has bread?
Well, she's starting from the beginning here, Kevin.
All right.
Number two, I bring home the bread.
Okay.
Well, did she pay for it?
She left it out. I don't know.
You're right.
That's a good point.
And then number three, I put my face in bread.
That's it. So that's her explanation of how it works.
And by the way, Allie, just to go back to your point, paper or plastic to get it home?
Great question, Bean. We need more info.
So how did she get started, and how did it turn into this social juggernaut?
Anytime I buy bread or find a very soft bread, I always touch it to my face. I just decided to film it on a whim. Of course, I didn't expect it to blow up. I was actually, like, begging my friends to follow me, and they were like, get the out of here.
She could not get anyone to follow her. Her friends said, get the F out of here. Those are her friends.
Why did she choose to put it on her face in the first place? Just because it felt soft?
Every time she got bread, she put it up to her face, I guess, to see what it feels, the texture.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She's just attracted somehow to the texture.
I don't know, because I bought a lot of bread, and it's never occurred to me, you know what? I should just put my face on it.
You haven't found the right bread. Change things.
Does she have favorites?
My favorites are sponge cake. Croissants are always nice. Tortillas are just very cooling on my face.
Right.
I love the ones that fall apart or like stick to my face. The party sub was just awful. It was just too big.
I mean,
well, one tiny Asian can't take on a whole party sub.
I mean, seriously, how did she even pick a party sub? That's not just bread, that's everything.
Right.
All right. Now she's talking about, and I'm not making this up, she's talking about what she wears while smashing her face into the bread.
I used to just wear whatever I had on, and then over time I kind of like approach it like a date. I do kind of want to look good for the bread, and I...
She
All
right. She said...
Bread-faced ladies gone bye-bye.
She said...
I do kind of want to look good for the bread, and I... and I want to set the mood. Sometimes you have to go in really hard, and you get hurt. And then, you know, sometimes they're soft, but then a little too soft. Other times it's just like a wild card. You just make a huge mess, and you feel a little gross after, but all in all, you had a pretty good time.
She dresses up for the bread.
Sure. Yes, she does.
Did everyone hear that?
I can't wrap my head around it.
It sounds
she dresses
like
up for the bread.
It sounds like it
she
has to be.
Up
no,
for
dress
bread.
Up for the bread. We understand, yes, but it sounds like it has to.
You're
be.
You're still talking.
I know.
Well, for God's sakes, let it sink in.
No, I got it.
She dresses up
for the bread, right?
For
she
the
approaches
bread.
It like a date. I heard that. I understood that.
Man, you're just talking a lot. Just let it sink in.
It sounds like this must be some sort of a parody of sexual fetish videos, but I don't think it is. I think she's sincere. I think it's real.
All right, here's the answer to your question about why she tries to keep her identity private.
I think the reason why I don't want to reveal that much about me is because I think the magic would kind of be gone. I'm very much like a normal person.
Sure.
I have a 9-to-5. This is like probably the only quirk about me, I guess.
Yeah, I doubt it. I don't think
so. I doubt that. I don't think that's the case. So she does get feedback on social media where people request certain types of bread.
No.
And they ask her, what does she think that the people are doing?
Oh, no.
While watching her smash her face into bread.
A few people emailed me and told me that they to the videos. A girl actually told me she to it, and I was like, I don't know, cool. I know a lot of people are like, oh, that's disgusting, but I don't kink shame, and I think this is like a very harmless thing to to.
No, I mean, she's got a point. It is harmless.
Final message from Breadface.
I would say that I guess that dreams really do come true.
Right? Allie, explain to us how this all got started.
Listen,
how Buttongate got started.
Yeah, a couple days ago, I saw somebody tweet about something that I never thought about, but then looked at the tweet and looked at the responses, and it spread like wildfire.
Okay.
A guy named Nick Bonino, he plays for the Pittsburgh Penguins. He witnessed something in his locker room that blew his mind, and he tweeted, quote, apparently guys on the team button dress shirts top to bottom. That is bananas. Never seen it before. Only normal way is bottom to top. Thoughts? What? No, and his Twitter exploded with people that were like, what kind of animal are you doing bottom to top? And then other people were like, of course it's bottom to top. That's why it's called a button down. Then the Oxford people were like, no, a button down is just the lapels of a shirt. It turned into Shirtgate and Buttongate, and it got serious.
I've never heard of buttoning a dress shirt from the bottom up.
I haven't either.
Okay.
But however, this hockey player believed that was the normal way to do it, and because this is another case, as we often talk about on this show, is if you do something, you just assume other people do it.
And I can imagine if that's what you've done your whole life, and then you're looking around the locker room and everyone's doing top to bottom.
But what if everyone's doing top to bottom, then you're wrong.
Right. And then I thought, well, maybe he's Canadian. No, he's from Connecticut. So now I'm even more confused. Like, what is happening in Connecticut to make you think the only normal way is bottom to top? So I tweeted about it, and the responses, primarily they were top to bottom people.
Okay.
But then other people were like, no, it's always bottom. That way you get the exact point, and then you just go up.
You get the exact point.
I don't know. But then other people said, but then there's extra buttons on the bottom, and you could put it in the wrong one. It turned ugly in my mentions.
Wow, you don't want to put it in the wrong hole. I do know from first-hand experience. That's terrible. How close was the voting online on either his Twitter poll or yours, Allie?
He then did a Twitter poll.
I mean, is this a 50-50 thing, or is this an 80-20 thing, or what?
This is shocking to me. His Twitter poll was, I guess this should settle it. Do you button your dress shirt from bottom to top like a normal person, or top to bottom?
That's a loaded question.
He was leading the witness.
Yeah.
But 31% said start at bottom. 63% said start at top. And then 6% said some other way. Goalies. So he's throwing his goalies under the bus who might start in the middle, but yeah. That's crazy. I thought it would be way more than 63 starting at the top.
We do have callers on the line. We will get to the scientific survey here in a moment. Now, let's just go around our room real quick, though. I am a top-to-bottom person.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Kevin?
I've buttoned shirts 4 times in my life.
Mm-hmm. Always. Yeah, you and I are mostly the T-shirt crowd, so this doesn't apply to us.
Always top-to-bottom.
Yeah. Top-to-bottom. Chip?
Top-to-bottom.
It's the only one.
Top to bottom.
Okay, so this room's unanimous. But you know what? We're not the deciders. Mm-mm. That's what the scientific survey is all about. We have listeners on the line. They called before they knew what the topic was, so they should be unbiased. It's not like we were screening for people that went one way or the other. So we have 5 callers on the line. We're going to determine once and for all what's the right way to button a button-down shirt with this, the Kevin and Bean Scientific Survey.
It's time for Kevin and Bean Scientific Survey.
Based on this room, I'd be stunned if there's an upset here. Doesn't
right?
it just seem like at least among us?
Now, our scientific surveys, though, are legally binding.
They are legally
binding.
This is it.
So if our listeners rule that it's bottom to top, we all have to change the way we do it.
Right.
That's right. That's
how it works.
Yes,
how it goes.
All right. So you have a very important vote. We'll take them in order, starting in Hammett. Line 1, this is going to be Gary. He gets the first call on bottom to top or top to bottom for button-down shirts. Gary, welcome to the show. Thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What say you? You've heard the evidence.
I heard the evidence, and while I was listening, I unbuttoned my shirt 3 times, rebuttoned it. I always start at the top and go down.
Top to bottom.
All right, Gary.
There you go.
All right, there's one for that. Thank
Nicely
you, Gary.
Done. Wow, he was doing research while on hold.
I mean,
well,
that's dedication.
As a good juror should, by the
yeah,
way.
Right.
You should very much consider the facts of the case.
Let's go Thank to you. One in Canoga Park. Hi there. Top Hi. To bottom, bottom to top.
Top to bottom, zippers, bottom to top. And that's it.
Well, zippers, bottom to
well,
top, of course.
It has to be one.
Of course.
But I appreciate that input.
Thank you for the clarification, though.
if you can do your zipper from top to bottom, you're impressive.
All right. So that's 2 votes for top mm-hmm. to bottom. This could settle it. Christian is up next from Pomona, line 3.
Lot of weight on you, Christian.
I always go bottom up because when I go the other way, I always have extra buttons.
See, a lot of people were saying that. I don't understand.
I do understand, and this is what when we talked about this off the air yesterday, I said I think it makes more sense to go bottom to top, and here's why. And I don't, by the way, I still do top to bottom. I'm with you guys, but I understand the bottom to top people because you line up the flaps of your shirt, you hold them at the bottom so that mm-hmm. you know that the buttons are even,
right?
So that you start from the right buttonhole,
right?
I think that's harder to do on the top because you can't see the top of your shirt so much because it's under your neck. You see what I'm saying?
No, it doesn't make any sense. You can do the exact same thing, which is start with the ultimate top buttons and move down as you
but
can as starting with the ultimate low one, move up.
But you can look down at your body and you can see the buttons at the bottom of your shirt. You can't see the buttons at the top of your shirt because they're under your head. So it makes sense to start from the bottom, but I don't do it that way. But it sounds like Christian does, so it's 2-1 right now.
All right, so do we keep going?
Yeah.
We have to, yeah. Whether you need a majority for this to be concluded.
Let's go to John in Koreatown. Hi there.
Hello.
Welcome to Buttongate. Top to bottom, bottom to top.
Top to bottom.
There it is.
Fantastic.
I don't know what that guy was doing. John, you are the deciding verdict. It is now settled officially, according to the Kevin Bean Scientific Survey, which, as Kevin mentioned, is binding by law.
It's legally binding. Mm-hmm.
The only way to button your dress shirt is top to bottom. So your little hockey player friend for the Penguins has got to step down, Allie.
Yeah, F that dude. He was on the Ducks.
That was Kevin and Bean's Scientific Survey.
Boom, 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 boom. What's up, boys and girls? It is a Wednesday. That's funny. I say Wednesday every day. Why can't I say Wednesday? It is a Wednesday. Feels like a Monday, though, because we had a long weekend. Hope you had a good time celebrating the 4th of July. Hope you had a safe and sane holiday, and now you're back to work or school or whatever, and here I am, your old radio pal Ralph, taking care of business with the Showbiz Beat on the world-famous K-Rock. You're listening to Kevin and Bean. It is 7:53 in the a.m., and because we're all coming back off the weekend, I thought we'd take a look at the box office and see what people went to see at the movies this weekend. Despicable Me 3 was number one by far. $75.4 million made it number one. A lot of people with kids going to see that film. Baby Driver was number two. I love that film. $21 million made it. So Transformers, The Last Knight, Wonder Woman, and Cars 3 were your top 5 films. Then The House, 47 meters down, The Beguiled Mummy, and Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. Those are your top 10 films. This is great news. You remember that fire festival that was supposed to happen in the Bahamas? Those people were setting up this music festival, and they were selling all these tickets, and it was supposed to be VIP, and people got there and found it was nothing but a bunch of shacks and some bologna sandwiches, and they were charging hundreds of thousands of dollars to people. In fact, millions were spent for this festival that never really happened. Well, the good news is Billy McFarland, the promoter who set up that disastrous festival, was arrested on Friday on fraud charges for shilling $1.2 million out of two investors for this Bahamas music event that never happened because of sheer incompetence. So he had to pony up $300,000 in bail on Saturday to get out of prison, and now he's going to live with his parents in New Jersey instead of his $21,750 a month penthouse in Manhattan. He also drives a $110,000 Maserati, by the way, at least for now, because the wire fraud charges could carry a sentence of up to 20 years if he is convicted on all counts. And let's hope he is, because he took a lot of money from a lot of people for this failed music festival.
Guilty!
We'd all like to see him go away for a bit. More music news. Oh, you've never seen a happier little boy than our own Dave, the King of Mexico, in the other room. Because he found out, as we all did over the weekend, that Paramore's Hayley Williams has split up with her husband, Chad Gilbert, from Newfound Glory. They are separating. This means Dave's got a shot. Congratulations, Dave. I really think it's going to work out for you two crazy kids. Here's the statement they made regarding their release. We also feel it's important to state that we're going to be okay. And in fact, we remain close friends who are good in each other's eyes. We continue to encourage and support each other personally and professionally. So once again, celebrities are better than us. They're able to split up with no bad feelings whatsoever. We're the best of friends. We love each other so much. In fact, we're probably going to start dating. That's how much we love each other. More news. Foos. Cannot wait for this new album. Concrete and Gold. Comes out September 15th. But as they're performing around the world, little by little, they are releasing, or playing live, rather, some of their tracks off of this new album. They were playing in Paris on Monday, and they did a live version for the first time ever of this song, Dirty Water is the name of it. It's coming off the new album, Concrete and Gold. And they played it. Here's a little taste. It's not great quality, but, man, sounds great. Can't wait to hear the studio version of this song. Here's New Foo's Dirty Water. Quality. It's coming out of Paris, but the song sounds awesome. Again, the album comes out on the 15th of September. Meanwhile, Foo's announced a July 10th concert at the historic Acropolis in Athens, Greece. So it's 5 days from now. It's going to be filmed for PBS for their Landmarks Live in Concert series. And it's going to be hosted by Chad Smith, the drummer for Chili Peppers, of course. He's going to host the event, and then it's going to be shown on PBS at a later date. So I'll keep you posted on that. And tragic news over the weekend. This one almost took all the joy out of the holiday for me when I heard that Spandau Ballet is losing their lead singer, Tony Hadley, who, of course, had been the lead singer of that band for 40 mother-effing years. Tony Hadley, lead singer for Spandau Ballet. You know Spandau Ballet, don't you, by this this classic song? Oh. Yeah. Slow dance.
No. This much is true.
Hey, maybe I could take over as the lead singer of Spandau Ballet.
That'd be sweet.
I still have my skinny tie in the closet, put on my suit.
Is true.
Yeah, he said, due to circumstances beyond my control, it is with deep regret that I am required to state I am no longer a member of the band Spandau Ballet. To which the president of the Spandau Ballet fan club responded, there's still a band, Spandau Ballet? Sad, man. After all those years, what's he going to do? There goes my idea for my Spandau Ballet cover band. Spandex Ballet. Today's celebrity birthdays. RZA is 48 years old today. Edie Falco is 54. And singer Huey Lewis.
I want a new drug. Mm-hmm. One that does what it should.
67 years old today.
One that won't make me feel
I want a new
bad.
Drug, too. Hey, speaking of drugs, Friday night, this Friday night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, my buddy Kevin Smith and I will be taking the stage for Hollywood Babylon, bringing it back to the Melrose Improv. Go to improv.com to get your tickets for Friday night at 10 p.m. We'd love to see you come out there. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Dave's went to see, what'd you see, Kong over the weekend, Dave?
No, I saw Power Rangers.
You saw Power Rangers?
Yeah.
And you came in with a story. It's been a long time since we've talked about this topic, but movie etiquette is back on the schedule. What happened, Dave?
Well, you know, I'm watching the movie, which was a pretty good movie. But anyways, so the songs, the music for the movies.
You tell a good story.
Well, I'm trying to get right to the point, Kevin, so okay. I don't get
it's
the
too
stop
late
clock.
For that.
So
yeah.
You're watching the movie and
yeah,
the song
and the music,
comes up.
Yeah, the music is pretty good. So a song comes up,
mm-hmm.
And this guy whips out his phone and starts Shazamming it.
What?
He starts Shazamming it.
No.
Shazamming the song in the theater?
Yes. And this wasn't the only time. This was just one of four times he did it throughout the whole movie.
Does he know that they list the songs in the credits after the movie?
He must have not have. Because...
Does he know that you can look it up online?
Yeah. Jeez. And it was so bright. There was only about six of us in this theater.
Right.
So, and he was right in front of me. And brightness. Just.
What about sitting in a movie theater and a woman three seats down? Not only has a baby, she
you had a baby in a movie theater?
I wish.
Wow,
I
that's
wish.
Crazy.
No, worse. She changed that baby's poopy diaper on her lap.
Oh, while watching the
while
movie.
While watching the movie. And all of a sudden we're like, why does it smell like crap in here?
Oh, man.
Oh, that's
golden.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's the one to beat, I guess, is poopy diapers is the one to beat. Well, let's start out in Rancho Cucamonga on line five, please. This is going to be Ryan. He's up first.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going? So I go to the movies at least once a week, mm-hmm. And I try to go before noon to avoid all the buttholes that go to the theater.
Right.
So about halfway during the movie, this girl pulls off this huge vape pen and starts taking massive rips. Like, she's inhaling for about 10 seconds and just filling the theater with smoke.
Oh, that's so sweet.
That's not sweet.
That's not sweet. Sorry,
that's
my bad.
I
look over at her and like kind of get her attention, and I think she was waiting for it. So she does this very sarcastic wave at me, like, "Oh yeah, I know what I'm doing. What are you going to do about it?" And I just thought, "Oh, I'm going to go to jail today." So,
look, we could all agree that vapors are just terrible people, right?
Right, across the board.
Across the board. Yeah. All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Will. He's in La Mirada on line 8. Will has a strategy when he sees bad behavior in a movie theater. He becomes Batman.
Hey, Will.
Hey, guys.
What's your strategy? Somebody's doing something that's annoying you, and you don't go get help?
I don't report it. No, okay. They don't do anything but come and stand and watch the audience. That's not going to do it. That's
okay.
Not going to help.
So what do you do?
I confront them. I tell them, put your cell phone away. Walk into the lobby. Leave. And they do. They usually leave. They get mad at me. They flip me off or whatnot. And they'll walk out. One guy waited for me in the lobby. And I was hoping that he would walk up to me because I was so angry. But he didn't. All he did was bad talked me, he trashed me, called me all kinds of names in the lobby, and he walked away. But I just don't call. I don't do it. I don't stand for it. I can't. I just cannot.
Will, can you come to every movie with me that I go to from now on?
Dude, let's go.
So you can handle the riffraff?
Will can be your muscle, Kevin.
Wow.
Will sounds like he's ready to get into a fight.
Yeah, Will's like, I wish you would.
All right. Let's go to line one. Huntington Beach. This is going to be Josh, very kindly calling and holding on. Josh, movie etiquette is the topic. What'd you see?
I went to go see Logan recently, and behind me, when the lights went down, all of a sudden this big bright light and a bunch of tick and tacks started. I turn around, the guy's got his laptop out working on a college paper.
What?
He's at
hey,
a movie
man,
theater typing.
You guys don't understand deadlines, though.
Typing a term paper for college?
Yeah.
That's insane.
I turned and looked at him, and... This is when Logan came out, so the theater's packed.
Right.
I said, you know you're at a movie theater, right? He said, I don't care. This is due in 2 hours.
I mean, what do you do with that?
Get help?
I took the laptop from him while the person I was with was going to get help.
That's insane.
And then you sold the laptop?
I, I should have.
You should have.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. All right, let's try Michael in Simi Valley. You know, we haven't gotten a ruling. Line 5, please. We haven't gotten a ruling on people who are asleep in a movie theater. How do we feel about that? Michael, what'd you see? What happened?
So I was watching Interstellar with my girlfriend at the time, and it was a part of the movie where Matthew McConaughey is watching those films that his kids made him, and like they're growing up through like minutes of the film,
right? Mm-hmm.
And so it's really quiet, and all of a sudden you hear this old man snoring like super loud, like,
yeah,
it's echoing throughout the movie theater. It's a really nice movie theater, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? This guy's ruined his like pinnacle part of this movie, right? So his family is sitting with him, and they go, hey, dad, you gotta get out of here. And he's like, all right, hold on. Well, I'm kind of hungry. Is there a Taco Bell in this movie theater? And they're like, what? No, get out of here. So they're like, no, get out of here. So this guy gets up, right? And it's one of those, like, those nice chairs or leather. They like, recline.
Right.
He grabs onto my chair and, like, to kind of, like, lift himself up. And I'm like, oh, my God. And my girlfriend's looking at me like, oh, she knows I'm pissed. And I kind of, like, yank my chair cause, like, to tell him, like, hey, what are you doing? I was furious.
Were you ready to fight?
All right, the phone's ringing.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Should have gone with Will, man. He would have taken care of that old man.
That's true. All right, let's try Larry in Santa Clarita, line 2. He has a – you guys tell me whether this is a problem or not.
All right. Hey, Larry.
Hey, guys. So I was in the theater a couple of years ago with my wife, and this guy brings in his own popcorn for one, which is an absolute no in my book.
Right.
He brings in a giant bag. It must have been the most crisp, newest, brand new, grocery bag ever. And he starts crinkling it up, passing out popcorn to his whole family, which took up a whole row, by the way.
Oh, man.
And he starts crinkling it. At one point, I'm like, is this guy wrapping birthday presents up here? It was so loud. And I'm like, geez, this guy's ridiculous. So the movie starts, you know, it's like 5 minutes in the movie. I'm pretty much boiling in my seat. He hasn't stopped. So I turn around and I said, you know, at any point, are you going to be stopping that? Or, like, what are you doing? You don't think that's loud? And the guy looks at me and goes, no, I don't think it's very loud at all. So at this point, I'm already jumping out of my seat. My wife's grabbing my arm. I'm like, you know what? I was ready to, you know, yank him down the aisle and throw him down. But, you know, I have such bad luck in theaters. I'm just tired of it now. I'm just ready to.
Hey, how did this conversation start? Is that movie theaters are going extinct?
Yeah.
And this might be part of the reason why.
Yeah.
Because Larry has no patience?
Exactly.
I don't.
The most patriotic movies of all time.
Yes.
Most patriotic movies of all time. It's time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh. Brr.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Brr. Just want to tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Yes. So when you have people over for your Independence Day party, this mm-hmm. is the movie that you're going to put up on watch.
Yeah, because that's what everybody. You want to do at a 4th of July party is sit and watch television. Wait a minute. No, that's not how I party on the 4th of July at all, Bean.
All right.
That's your world.
Maybe not at all.
All time.
According to the latest issue of Entertainment Weekly magazine.
Wow. All
what
time.
Say you first? It's wide open.
You know what popped into my mind first? The movie that made me most yay, God bless America, was Saving Private Ryan.
Well, Saving Private Ryan, Ralph, you'd be happy to know, is only number one.
Oh, is that all?
It's just number one.
That's all that is.
The Steven Spielberg, Tom Hanks masterpiece from 1998, if you've never seen Saving Private Ryan. By the way, so many great actors in that movie, too.
Sure are. And Vin Diesel.
All right, you are on the board. Miss Allie McKay, you're next, I think.
Oh, it should go beer mug.
Okay, beer mug next. Sorry,
it's yeah. tough because Ralph took my guess.
Yeah, oh, sorry,
I know there's no
just
other movie.
Number one, right? There's no other film about America.
But luckily, I have this in my Rolodex. It's got 4th of July.
Oh, is this in your movie Rolodex?
Yes, oh, it's got 4th of July in the title. Born on the 4th of July with Tom Cruise.
Yeah. That's the anti-American, least
patriotic
by the way.
Movie ever. By the way,
the opposite of patriotic.
And it is number.
Did you not see it, Beer Mug? It's the least patriotic movie ever.
And it is number what on the list?
Well, I don't know. This list only goes to 25, so no telling.
It's below that.
Damn it.
It's about how awful America was and how it screwed over those kids who went to Vietnam.
Yeah, but that's American right there.
That's not patriotic, you dumbass. You know what the word patriotic means?
You love things.
Oh, my God.
All right, Allie, you can't do worse than that.
Oh, I bet I could, because I am at a loss.
What? Oh, come on.
Do you hate America? Oh, my God.
That was same about war, right?
Holy crap.
What is happening to you?
That was about war, and then you're like, yay, America?
That's not the category.
Oh.
No, that was about a failed U.S. war in Vietnam.
Okay.
What about Up with Hitler? Just that as a movie title. As a patriotic American film.
Okay.
Allie, why not the great film Poop on the Flag? What about that?
America Blows, starring Tom Cruise.
Jesus. Come on, you guys. Patriotic. USA, USA. Get it together here.
I don't know if this is on the list or not, but it's one of my favorite patriotic films. It is the movie version of the Broadway musical 1776.
Well, it's interesting you should say that, Ralph, because it is number 14 on the list, 1776.
Great, not top 10, though.
Great movie, great
play.
Wait,
does he get a point?
Yeah, are we doing top 10?
I think I'm giving points for everything on this list.
Anything right. Given our previous guesses?
I think that's good.
Based on the competition, I think, yeah, you get a point if you're on the list. All right.
Now, that would be patriotic because it talks about the founding fathers. It makes you feel good about America.
Okay.
You two understanding now what's happening?
Mike's
got his back turned. He's doing shadow boxing in the corner.
That's weird.
And Allie's just glazed over.
Glazed.
Let's try it again, kids.
Beerbug's like, I don't know what happened in 1776. That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know about math. That's a math movie.
I'm going to redeem myself here and go with American Mother Effing Sniper.
American Sniper? Is it?
That's patriotic.
I guess.
Killing terrorists. But he's got mental problems because of it. No, he comes back all effed up.
I mean, a lot of the soldiers do, but while he's over there, he's doing patriotic things.
Yeah, I'll allow that as a guess. It's not on their list. No, I'm sorry to say that's not a terrible guess.
Yeah,
doesn't strike patriotism to me, but I see what you're thinking here. All right, Allie, you're up next.
Well, I think he was a great president, and there was a movie about him, Lincoln.
Number 16 on the list.
There you go, Allie. Now you're getting it.
Hey, woo.
And that was about how democracy works,
right?
And how you go about doing your business in the executive branch. Well done. All right, Lincoln. So point. All right, let's just go around one more time.
One more time. Fairman. Okay, how about Patton, George C. Scott?
Number 5 on the list.
Thank you so much.
Classic 1970 film.
Classic
Patton.
Patriotic film.
All right, I'm really going to redeem myself here.
Oh, dear.
Nope.
No, you're not.
Oh, I hate the actor, but it's got the word patriot in it. The Patriot.
The Patriot is... I thought it was about Scotland, wasn't it? Wasn't that not about America?
Wait, what? No, that's Braveheart.
No, that was Braveheart.
Oh, that's Braveheart. Yeah. Okay.
Mel Gibson's Patriot was about the Revolutionary War, yeah.
Patriot, no, I'm sorry, not on the not on the list.
Okay.
Again, not a terrible guess.
Not a terrible guess, but not a great guess.
Stop with all the
fake outrage, Beer Mug.
No, that should be on the list. It's not fake. That should be on the list. That's how America started.
Final guess, Miss Allie McKay.
What was Armageddon about? I'm kidding. I'm kidding. What about, like, President's Day?
President's
Day.
Is there a movie called President's Day?
No.
Is that a horror movie about the serial killer who kills people on President's Day?
Her dad's the president, and she's like, oh, it's so hard being me. And then she, like, goes off.
The president's daughter?
Yes.
What does that have to do with patriotism?
She's then learns to be proud.
My first daughter, I think, is the movie you're thinking
Holy
of, right?
First daughter,
which is a romantic comedy. Okay.
Right.
Oh. Here are some of the films that are on the list.
Yankee Doodle Dandy, is that on there?
Yes, it is. That is number 23, Yankee Doodle Dandy. Some of the other ones on the list include Lone Survivor, Captain America, The First Avenger.
Of course.
The one I really thought somebody might come up with is a movie called Independence Day.
That's what I was thinking.
About aliens? How is that patriotic?
Because Americans kick the aliens' ass.
But
America does.
Sniper's not on there? Or the Patriots?
The top 10 are Air Force One.
Yeah, sure.
Rocky IV.
Oh, of course.
How about Rocky IV?
Beating the Russians, USA.
Top Gun at number 8 as a patriotic.
Yeah.
Here's one that surprised me, and I guess Hidden Figures is what they came up with.
I love that movie so much.
Number 6, most patriotic movies of all time according to Entertainment Weekly, Team America World Police.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's hilarious.
Number 5, Ralph, you got Patton. Number 4, another one I wouldn't have been surprised if you came up with, Miracle. Ladies and gentlemen,
the hockey
beating some
movie?
Soviet ass in hockey in the Olympics.
More patriotic than beating the Ruskies in the 1980 Olympics.
Canadian sport, by the way.
Yeah, the Americans won the gold, dumbass.
I don't care.
That's a.
Can we not let Beer Mug play this anymore?
I mean, that was a weird argument right there. That was
number three on the list was Glory, the Civil War movie Glory.
Oh,
Number two, Apollo 13, good old American ingenuity on saving those astronauts. And then number one, as you mentioned, was Saving Private Ryan. This has been Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
The weekend's over, and you got to face the inevitable. I got to go out and work. Unless I can come up with a good excuse to call in sick, right?
Right.
Allie, this this Career Builders study that you brought into us is amazing.
My favorite is the employee had to attend the funeral of his wife's cousin's pet because he was an uncle and a pallbearer.
See, now that,
I mean, like, he has to, right?
Now, that to me seems like the guy was serious.
How can you make that up?
Yeah, if you were making something up, you wouldn't go with that.
No.
Because that's stupid.
All right, what else do you have for calling in sick?
An employee, I get this one. Employee was experiencing traumatic stress from a large spider found in her home. She had to stay home and just deal with it. I get it. I get it.
Well, you can't leave your house if you've got it with just a spider roaming free.
No. Again, so, a lot of women in this study, apparently, because one said her roots were showing on her hair, and she looked like a mess, and she had to keep that hair appointment. I understand these people.
Why doesn't she just do what you do and get an L.A. Kings baseball cap?
That's a good point.
It does help.
Yeah, it does, for sure.
Here's one. An employee was bowling the game of his life and couldn't make it to work. You don't understand. It's the game of my life.
Can you imagine?
I love that phone call so much. Seriously, I'm at the 10th frame, dude. I can't walk away from this. I might hit 200.
I feel like I would be a bad boss because I would say, well, good on you. Good luck.
Absolutely. Have a beer.
Let me know how it goes.
Enjoy.
Julie, we're looking for excuses that people use to call in sick for work. What you got?
So she called in saying, oh, I can't make it. I have to drive my little sister up to college and move her into her dorm room. Her little sister's five. Either world's greatest genius or total BS.
Wow. Sounds like she might have made that one up, huh?
Yeah.
Employee had used a hair remover under arms and had chemical burns as a result.
Oh,
is that something that can happen?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Use the wrong stuff?
Oh, no.
Talking about surprising reasons you or someone you know has called in sick. We're hearing from a lot of people. Chris writes in, Dear Kevin and Bean, I had someone call in sick at my job because there was a dead possum in his yard and he wanted to wait for animal control. Why would you need to be there for that, I wonder?
I don't know.
R-A-H, Kevin and Bean, I called in because my fish died. I had had him for 5 years. Okay. Chrissy writes, I once had a coworker that called in kidnapped.
Oh.
I want to know more about that,
Why don't
Chrissy?
You call the police?
That seems pretty
if
legitimate,
you're calling,
doesn't it? Let me see. Jared, please. He's in Anaheim. He's on line one. He's got a funny one that was found out. Hey, Jared, welcome to the show. What's going on?
What's happening? Hey, I got my buddy a job at the place that I worked at. I'd been there for years, and he didn't show up one day. Just was completely gone. No calls, nothing. And so on his application, he had listed his grandmother as the emergency contact, and we had called her, and she said, well, yeah, I don't know where he's at. I haven't talked to him. And he calls in and says to me, he calls me directly, and he says, well, my grandmother died.
Oh, no.
Right after.
And you had already talked to her.
Oh,
that's
no.
funny. She sounded great 5 minutes ago.
And I says to him, I'm like, you don't want to say that when you talk to the other managers. You don't want to bring that up because we already talked to her. And
that's
like, oh, cool. Thanks for giving me a heads up.
Oh, so he didn't get found out about it. It was just between you guys. That's hilarious.
But the kicker is that I found out the next day that he was screwing around with my girlfriend, and that's why he wasn't in.
Wow.
So
this story has layered.
This has a lot of angles.
So I went to my local head shop with, like, they sell pipes and posters and rings and stuff.
We're getting way off topic now, by the way. Now that Jared is at the head shop.
Jared, that's a great story, but we don't have time for it, unfortunately.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. All right, let's try Tom. He's in Santa Monica up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Crazy things that people have called in sick with. What's their excuse? Tom, go ahead.
What up? Popo's out, fellas.
To you as well.
And to you as well.
So we both work in the hospitality industry. I scored tickets to a Phillies-Dodgers game. And I had the day off. He didn't. And he said, you know what? I'm going to tell him I'm going to go get my butthole bleached.
Why? Now, see. Why?
Of all the things in the world.
I mean, it's funny and all, but did he really say that? And why would he pick that particular excuse?
And why does he need a whole day off? How big is his butthole?
I mean, I never asked. I never checked. I'm guessing he said it because he figured they do the same. No one really turned a blind about it. Nobody really asked.
Yeah, nobody wants details.
See,
on
that's
your
the key. Here's the key to calling in sick. Give them more details than they want so that there's no possible way they have a follow-up question.
Oh, that's
right.
Good.
You got to make sure you got a clean brown eye.
Right, and that too.
That's good, Tom.
Well, that's a good takeaway from every Kevin and Bean show, I think.
That's a good tip.
8:51 in the morning. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean show and the world-famous K-Rock. The boys are off. I don't know what they're doing. Doing some grab ass or something, but I'm still here in the studio bringing you live showbiz news with the Showbiz Beat. And a lot of stuff to talk about. You know, it was a long holiday weekend, a lot of stuff happened. We got to catch up on, like, the box office. A lot of people went to the movies over the holiday weekend to see Despicable Me 3. It debuted with $75.4 million, making it number one. Baby Driver was two with $21 million. Then Transformers The Last Knight, Wonder Woman, and Cars 3 being your top five films. The House debuted with $9.5 million, 47 meters down, The Beguiled, The Mummy, and Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. That's your top 10 movies at the box office. Breaking news, Fox has just announced they are going to be airing a singing competition program. What a great idea. How come no one's thought of this before, to put people together who are singing and competing for a grand prize on television? Seems like a no-brainer. Where's this been all my life? Oh, wait a minute. And here's the thing. Fox is the network that canceled American Idol. They said, we don't need that anymore. That's been played. We don't need singing competition show anymore. So they canceled American Idol. Then ABC picks up American Idol. They're going to reboot it. And now Fox is like, hey, wait a minute. We want a singing show because we used to have that one. This is the guy who broke up with the girl. Now the girl's dating his friend. And he's like, oh, crap, I really want her back now. I forgot how much I loved her. So they're coming up with their own reality singing competition show called The Final Four. Now, it was called The Final Four internationally. It will not be called that here in the U.S. because of... Beer Mug, any guesses?
The NCAA?
NCAA men's and women's college basketball tournaments. They can't use that. So they're going to call it something else. We don't know what yet. But here's the premise. The four finalists start off the show. You start with four finalists the very first week. And then new contestants come in each week trying to steal one of those four slots away from the four finalists that started the show. Sounds like an unnecessary complication. And I don't think it's going to work. But it's good to know we're going to have another singing competition show on television.
Zero for effort. Zero for style.
Come on.
Zero for star quality.
Come on, Simon.
And you know what? I'm being generous.
You're a heartless man. Robert Downey Jr. has announced that his days as Iron Man could be coming to an end. He tells the News Corp Australia in an interview that he wants to hang up his jersey before he gets embarrassing. He said, listen, you don't even need to do anything. The suit does all the work. It's all CGI. Just keep showing up. We need you. If Tyler Perry can keep being Madea, you can keep being Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr. God damn it. Hey, congratulations to Jay-Z and Beyonce. They had twins. First couple, I think, ever to accomplish that. The way the press is reacting to them. Of course, you know, they've got a five-year-old named Blue Ivy. So why expect anything less when it comes to the names of their newborn twins? So please welcome Rumi. R-U-M-I. Rumi. Which is funny because it was anything but roomy inside that uterus with the two of them, right? Who's with me? Unless Beyonce's got, you know, a giant uterus. I don't know. I don't know the woman that well. But Roomy and Sir Carter. Sir Carter is the name of the... Roomy and Sir. Roomy and Sir. Sir, S-I-R. Just like being knighted, Sir Carter will be his name. Imagine how confused he's going to be at, like, a restaurant. Sir? Someone's trying to get a waiter's attention. He keeps spinning around in his booth. Because where he's eating has booths. That's what you need to know. Now, this is a little bit of a deep cut. I don't know if anybody watched Feud Betty and Joan, about Joan Crawford and Betty Davis. I watched that on the FX. I loved that show. It was great. Really well done. It's played by Jessica Lange and Susan Sarandon were in this project. Anyway, someone was not happy with it. It wasn't the estates of either of those actresses who are no longer with us. It was another actress who was played by Catherine Zeta-Jones in the series, Olivia de Havilland. She apparently is furious with that show because she said she didn't give her permission to be shown in the series and that the depiction of Catherine Zeta-Jones in that project harmed her reputation. Olivia de Havilland is 101 years old, and she is worried about her reputation in Hollywood. She's right. That series probably kept her from getting that coveted Wonder Woman role she was after. Come on, you're 101. Relax. The first time anyone said the name Olivia de Havilland, by the way, in about 30 years, so you should be happy. But she didn't like how she was portrayed. However, of course, she is a public figure, and they didn't really need to get her clearance in order to put her in the show. But still, she's very upset, and she didn't like the fact that the series of what she called petty gossip, which, if she doesn't know by now, is how the world turns now. It's all about the petty gossip. Adele had to cancel her final two dates of her 25 tour in the UK. Couldn't help but thinking about our own Ally McKay, who went to London on vacation over the holiday weekend, now I believe is in Italy. She was planning on seeing the final Adele show at Wembley Stadium when she was in London, and that's when Adele canceled. So I think Ally's just bad news, quite frankly.
Oh, I'm so mad!
Right? You had tickets to see Adele, and then she canceled on you, Ally. I think you're bad luck. And then more music news. Lady Gaga performed at a wedding over the weekend. She performed at the ceremony for Lolita Asmanova and Gaspar Avdolian at the Dolby Theater in Los Angeles. The wedding was at the Dolby Theater at Hollywood and Highland in Los Angeles. That's where the Academy Awards are held. Now, the bride's father is an energy tycoon. I'm assuming from Russia? Asmanova? Lolita Asmanova and Gaspar Avdolian. They got married and, well, that wasn't the only entertainment at the wedding. They also had Jason Derulo. He also performed, sure. But he was an opener. And then the main event at the wedding, you know, while you're eating the wedding cake and you're drinking that that crappy champagne that they serve, Lady Gaga took the stage to perform her hits. What do you think it costs to get Lady Gaga to your wedding to perform at the reception? Beer mug, I would love to know your guess, please.
I would say...
What's the paycheck on that for Gaga?
What, she performed for an hour?
I don't know how long the set was, Beer Mug, and I really don't think that's important. I don't think she charges by the hour. I think it's an appearance fee.
I just want to make sure.
What does it take you to get her to your wedding and have her perform, regardless of the length of the set?
$750,000.
You are higher than usual, sir. That's an awful, awful guess. $750,000. You wouldn't even go the full mill just to hedge your bet at all, Beer Mug, you dumbass.
Some room, $250,000.
You're a goofball of epic proportions.
How much, Ralph?
$10 million.
What?
$10 million
what?
Will get Lady Gaga to your wedding.
Holy crap!
A low, low price of $10
million. Is that all?
I'm putting it out there right now. I will come to your wedding, and I will perform for $8. So if anybody's listening and wants me to show up, I'm giving you the Gaga discount. Lady Gaga! Where's that? Where's Ally MK doing that?
I have every Ally drop but that
you
one.
You don't know how to find that one? All right. Hey, Friday night, speaking of bargains, it won't cost you $10,000 to see me and Kevin Smith on stage at the Improv this Friday night at 10 p.m. No, I don't know, it's like $20 or something, $25. Come on out, have a good time. Have some cocktails, grab something to eat. Come see me and Kevin Smith do our Hollywood Babylon show at the Improv on Melrose, Friday night, 10 p.m. Love to have you come join us. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. RZA, 48 years old today. Edie Falco turns 54, very talented actress. And the legendary singer Huey Lewis.
Don't need money, don't take fame. Mm-hmm.
Power love. course, from Back to the Future. I think we need a little hip to be square later on today. Man, I love that song. Huey Lewis is 67 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I think this was this is an interesting take from a doctor named Roshina Raj. We thought it might be interesting to hear what she has to say and talk about it, because she has investigated playing hard to get as a technique. And let's face it. Look, I know there are a lot of different opinions on the proper way to date, and everybody's different. Everybody likes a different approach. But I just think it's so complicated already, and it's so hard to match up with somebody. I think the last thing I want is somebody pretending.
Well, you shouldn't play hard to get ever, because you're super lucky that you got married.
Yeah, you found one woman that would say yes.
Right? Jump on that.
I mean, if somebody likes you, what's the downside of admitting that, hey, I like you? Why would you pretend that you don't like somebody?
Because people are damaged. That's why. That's what we're learning from this doctor and her report, apparently.
All right. This is a new series from Mashable and Bravo, and it's called Love 101. Let's hear what Dr. Raj has to say.
By the way, I love the weird jazz music that's behind this report.
It's like you're at Rio.
We like people who like us. But more than that, we like people whose feelings we don't know yet. Ever waited for a text response that seemed like it would never come? Yeah, me too. It can drive us crazy, but it can also weirdly attract us more to the person who's not responding. When a lover doesn't respond to a text promptly, we have that anxious, nail-biting roller coaster of emotions until they finally write back. As opposed to the lover who always responds within seconds. It makes us content and secure, but it's far less exciting.
Lover! My lover! I'm very comfortable. Where's my lover?
I'm very uncomfortable with her frequent use of the word lover.
It's lover.
So what she's saying is two people are new. They've met. They're taking that next step to get together or whatever. If I text her back in 20 minutes, she's like, I guess. If I text her back in 4 hours, she's like, yeah, I'm so hot. I got to get some of that. But I don't get
it. I'm not sure that's an accurate summary.
Okay, then tell me what I'm missing. What is the doctor saying? Ralph, you're the expert here.
I think that is what she's saying. I think she's saying if you keep someone waiting. But here's the thing. Listen to her own words. It creates a roller coaster of emotion. You're just creating turmoil and drama in a situation where there is none. And that's what I'm saying. Some people are effed up, and they thrive on drama and question marks and uncertainty.
Or maybe the
and
chase,
ill
even.
At ease feelings.
Yeah, it's the chase and being pursued. A lot of people enjoy that. Which it
no,
tends
but we're not
to be
talking
of...
about the person being chased or pursued. She's talking about the person waiting for the text
is
more excited because they're not getting a response back from someone they care about. It's not about the person being chased who likes being chased. It's about the person who likes being held in suspension, not knowing what's going on.
That person enjoys chasing, I think. I think that person enjoys thanking. I mean, chasing.
They're thanking you, sir.
They're the ones that are doing the chasing, and if it's a little more difficult, it's a little more like
But what happens when you catch? Okay, if it's all about the chasing, thanking you, then what happens when they respond, and then you're together, and then the relationship goes forward? How long can you maintain the tension of that push and pull? Oh, when will they text me back? Before it doesn't exist anymore. You can't create an entire relationship based on
I think you're right. A lot of people do thrive on that drama. And those same people, once they do get it, they move on to the next.
They're effed up.
Because it's not fun anymore.
Broken people and fire must cleanse us.
Okay.
Here's some more.
Researchers call this phenomenon the uncertainty effect. The fact there are more intrigued
and attractive...
Clever title.
Right. Researchers are using...
This uncertainty is called by researchers uncertainty.
...to uncertainty than certainty. Studies have shown that single men were more interested in dating women who appeared disinterested or who played hard to get...
Can you stop one second? The band is going off
script. Right?
I don't know if you noticed. They are jamming at this
They're
point.
They're improvising, man.
They're tired of this conversation already.
At this point.
Rather than women who were warmer and friendlier. And women, before you start shaking your heads at the men, know that another study found similar behavior in women. In this study, women were told how some men rated their Facebook profiles. Female college students were more interested in the men when they didn't know how they rated them than they were in men who actually rated them highly. But one caveat. When it comes to casual sex, another study didn't show any benefit to playing hard to get.
In that case, you may as well let it all.
You're having sex with an old Model A.
Why is that sound effect happening? Why is that there?
Because that's the Awooga sex horn. That's why.
So
that horn means sex.
For one caveat, when it comes to casual sex, another study didn't show any benefit to playing hard to get. In that case, you may as well let it all hang out. Yeah. Not literally. But you catch my drift.
Oh, not literally.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Don't just dangle my scrotum in the park.
Oh, God.
Is that what you're saying, Doc?
When it comes to casual sex, it doesn't matter. No, right. It's casual sex. You're boning. You're not playing hard to get because it's casual.
Right,
right. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
But she's saying if that's your goal, if that's your end game in a relationship, then there's no point in trying to withhold anything from your partner. Because everything, if it's up on Front Street, then everybody's involved and everybody can just go have their sex. Which makes the casual sex relationship sound much healthier than the dating relationship she's describing.
Wow. It kind of does.
Yeah.
And by the way, just to recap real quick, the one thing the doctor said about the Facebook thing. Women, it sounded like she was saying to me, did I get this right, Ralph? Women are more attracted to somebody if they don't know whether they will like them back or not, rather than the people that have already expressed interest and given you high enough they already like you.
Yes.
I don't get it.
It's not for you, Bean.
They get intrigued by the unknown, by the mystery. They are trying to solve a mystery. If there's no mystery, then that excitement is taken away from them.
And they want
some Awooga too, right?
Allie, you're with us, right? Pineapple and pizza is the way to go.
Not
it's
really.
Great.
No. I'm good with a no.
You're wrong. But okay. It's back in the news right now because the new president of Iceland, he, by the way, is 48 years old. He was just elected in August of last year, and he is phenomenally popular. He has a 97% approval rating after 6 months on the job in Iceland right now.
Wow. Same here.
He's speaking
very similar.
He's speaking to a school, and he was asked where he stands on pineapple on pizza. And he was not being a politician when he answered. He didn't try to appease both sides and say, well, you can have it or not have it. They're both fine. He came out and said that he was fundamentally opposed to it, and he would legislate against it if he could.
Love
would make it illegal.
You'd make it illegal
to have pineapple on pizza.
So we talked about this in the office, and a screaming match broke out as Bean and I were the only right-thinking Americans saying that it's fine, and everybody else was screaming about how terrible it is.
Christine, who is a longtime vegetarian, would rather eat veal than eat pineapple on pizza. That's how strongly opposed she was to pineapple on pizza.
She punched me. She went off.
That is not like her.
Dave was the same way. Ralph was the same way. So I don't know what we're missing about this argument. But Kevin, why don't you introduce the president of Iceland by his full name, please, and let's get him on the phone.
The president of Iceland's full name is Guðni Jóhannesson.
Hello, Mr. President.
Well, good morning. That is quite interesting. Experience hearing that one from you.
Yes. Well, your language is very difficult for non-Icelandic speakers.
Guðni.
Mm-hmm. Guðni.
Guðni.
Okay.
Guðni.
T.
It's just T-H.
T.
T. T. All right.
Okay, T.
Johansson.
Okay. All right. Can we just call you Mr. President?
Yes, of course you can be calling me that, yes.
Okay. So the story was you were speaking in front of students. They asked you about the pineapple, and you also just went off on pineapple on pizza.
Well, because it's a crime against humanity.
It's no such thing.
It's just two flavors put together in a food that people like.
Not since Hitler has there been more of a crime against the souls of millions and millions of peoples.
Okay. I feel like that's a reach.
It's the worst thing, worse than any disease has ever been on Earth, the plague.
Wow.
Worse than the meteor that struck the planet millions of years ago, causing the extinction of the dinosaurs.
Okay, I think you're overreacting a little bit. It's just
if you like it, you should die.
Okay.
Wow.
But maybe it's just a taste that isn't appealing to you, but that doesn't mean everybody else doesn't still like it.
There's right and wrong. Mm-hmm. And this is wrong.
I mean, it's just a matter of taste, though. It's subjective.
No, it's not. It's the worst thing ever.
Okay.
It is what I call fake pizza. Fake pizza. And pineapple on pizza is not my enemy. Pineapple on pizza is the enemy of the people.
Okay. Again, you're overreacting.
We need to build a wall around Hawaii and make them pay for it. That's how awful pineapple is on pizza. We need a travel ban on Papa John and Little Caesar.
Wow.
They stop selling this evil, evil pizza that makes, first of all, you sterile.
That's just not true.
I think that's true.
It's not true
also,
at all.
It makes your ass fat.
It's also not true. I think you're just making things up to support your position because it's indefensible on its own, Mr. President.
Pizza is made with tomato sauce.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Where else? Are you eating big fruit salads with ketchup on them?
Well, no.
At your house?
No.
Then
but,
you should die then.
No, there's something about pineapple on a pizza with that tomato sauce and with a chicken or a ham, if you like it, or something like that. It's just a taste sensation.
It's a taste sensation,
or
Mr.
Taste
President.
Sensation. So when you have your apple and tomato and cheese sandwiches, or when you have your banana and ketchup in a bowl with some cheese
okay,
or milk.
All right, those don't sound good.
Oh, what fruit is good then with tomato sauces and cheeses?
Just look, one, pineapple.
Yes, I can't explain why it works. It just does. It
I
just
can't
works.
Explain why you're an ass.
All right, maybe you should just
pineapple on cheese. Pizza.
Why don't you try it again? Maybe that's the problem, is you just need to try it again. It's been too long since you've experienced how great it is.
I will bomb your country first.
You're not going to bomb
our
country.
Iceland's going to war with America.
An Icelandic bomb. I will write into law. I will write right now. I will write into the law.
Okay.
I have a pen.
Oh, no.
Yes. Yes. You have a pen.
And I have a pineapple.
Uh-huh. You have a pineapple. All right. Yeah.
Pineapple pen. You're going to write a law against pineapple pizza, and then you will be in a bag in the desert.
Feel it still. Ah, I love that song so much.
I do. I can't help it. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. It is 9:35 in the morning, and I hope that's the song you woke up to. I hope your alarm went off next to the bed, and that was your song. Because I'd get out of bed, and I'd be dancing nude, making coffee, and baking, and burning my genitals with bacon grease. All right, it's getting worse. It's not as good as I thought it would be initially when I started talking about that, but that's the song of the summer for me. I love that damn song. All right, let's talk about the showbiz beat. It is the Kevin and Bean Show you're listening to. However, the boys are on vacation, so I'm here all by myself. Well, not all by myself. I got my good pal Beer Mug in the studio with me.
What's up, Ralph?
Real quick, need to apologize to Beer Mug.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, our last hour in the showbiz beat, we talked about Lady Gaga performing at the wedding of the daughter of a giant energy tycoon out of Armenia, apparently, it turns out. He's an Armenian billionaire. And he had Lady Gaga perform at his daughter's wedding.
Lady Gaga!
Her name, Lolita Osmanova. She married Gaspar Avdolian at the Dolby Theater in Los Angeles. That's where the Academy Awards are held. That's where their wedding was. And Jason Derulo performed, and then Lady Gaga performed at the reception. And we're talking about how much it cost to get her there. And Beer Mug guessed $750,000, I believe. And I berated him to no end. Because here in this poorly written, rather confusing story that I was reading, it said the cost was $10 million. But it turns out the cost for the entire wedding was $10 million. Not to get Gaga to perform there. Gaga performed at the wedding for the low price of $1 million.
Still.
So you weren't far off, Beer Mug. I apologize for dressing you down like
that. It's okay.
That. But it was $1 million she got to perform a couple hits at this wedding. The entire event cost $10 million for a wedding. Beer Mug, you're recently married.
Yeah.
Could you imagine spending $10 million on the best wedding?
God, no.
Right?
Because I thought my wedding was expensive. And just, what do you
have? You had it in like a field, Beer Mug. How expensive could it have been? It was in a field. There was
barn
some
animals.
There were some lights thrown into a tree. It was, you know, but it wasn't exactly.
What do you have at a $10 million wedding?
Well, Lady Gaga.
Right.
And Jason Derulo, apparently. And I think they serve gold for the meal.
You eat it?
Did you order the gold or the silver? Oh, I had the boiled silver, please. They just bring it out. I don't know. $10 million wedding, but. Anyway, $1 million to get Gaga perform. And again, my offer holds. I will perform at your wedding for less than $1 million. Like for $500,000. I will perform at your wedding. And I'll probably, I'll sing some Spandau Ballet. That's what I will do. Because, I don't know if you heard or not,
one of my all-time fave bands, Spandau Ballet. The Kemp Brothers. Remember the Kemp Brothers? You don't remember them, but they were the creative minds behind that. And then Tony Hadley was the dreamy lead singer of Spandau Ballet. After 40 years, he has announced he is quitting the band, and my heart breaks. But I also see, you know, for every cloud is a silver lining, I see an enormous opportunity for myself to maybe step in and become the new lead singer for Spandau Ballet. That's all I'm saying. You may remember their smash hit song, True. Remember that? Oh, how dreamy, right?
No. This much is true.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if I have an audition. I'm going to step in. Someone sent me a tweet this morning and said I should be lead singer for Landau Ballet, which is a Martin Landau themed cover band for Spandau Ballet.
That's strong.
That would be pretty strong, yeah. Jay-Z released his album 444 on his Tidal Music streaming service. Made a lot of people upset because they didn't want to have to sign up to Tidal just to hear the new album. So he's releasing it widely without having to sign up for the service because so many people were complaining. And then this weekend, right after he went through all that nightmare stuff, Kanye West announced he has left the company. Kanye claims he is owed a lot of money from Jay-Z and Tidal. $3 million, he claims. And he says Tidal's been served with a breach of contract notice. So now it's Kanye versus Jay-Z. The Life of Pablo album was released on Tidal. And they got 1.2 million monthly subscribers were added as a result of that. And so Kanye says he should get a bonus payment, and there's a lot of legalese going on. But apparently these two are going at it. So we'll have to wait and see. Meanwhile, the good people in music, Foo Fighters, are still performing in Europe, and little by little, they're starting to let us hear songs off their new album, Concrete and Gold, which will be released in September 15th to be exact. While they're playing their live events all over Europe, they occasionally are dropping a live version of some of their new music. This weekend was no different. They were in Paris, and they played a new song off of the new album called Dirty Water. Again, the quality's not great because it is live on somebody's phone. But you get a little sense of it. Here's a brand new track from what we're going to hear soon from the Foo Fighters' new album. It's called Dirty Water. Yeah, sounds good. Not great. Great quality, as I said, but I can't wait to hear that. Hear that out of the studio in September. It's going to be terrific. All right, real quickly, before I say goodbye, don't want to forget our good friends from Honda. On your drive home today, listen to the commercial-free 5 p.m. hour. It is a random act of helpfulness from the local SoCal helpful Honda dealers. They're handing out a random act of helpfulness, and we're all going to win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m., so make sure you tune in. Also, Friday night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I taking the stage at Hollywood Babylon there at the Improv on Melrose. Love to have you come out and go to improv.com to get your tickets there. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. RZA's 48 years old today. Edie Falco turns 54. And singer Huey Lewis celebrates his 67th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.